that if you're looking to make a business out of it and a career, you are in for probably the toughest industry in the world. No one is going to care about your music. And I think the secret, which not a lot of people will say, is that the people who are going to care about your music the least are the people who are closest to you. Your best friends are going to be jealous. They're not going to go to your concerts. Yeah. They're going to want you to give up because they don't want to see you succeed.
And the lack of optimism, you know?
Yeah.
They don't have faith in you.
That part, it's not just in music. It's in everything.
Yeah. You know? Hey, guys. Welcome to my second episode of Calvation. We have a special guest over here, Clarence.
Hey, yo.
Nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you, bud.
Pleasure to meet you. And another special guest, Sean.
Sean McGee.
So tell us who you are and, like, what do you do, stuff like that.
My name is Clarence Felix Neary. I am a professional rock musician and a music entrepreneur.
Awesome, awesome. So, have you started an album, right, or you...
I've released two records from my band, The Dissidents. The first one was released in 2016, second one last year. Mm-hmm. It's in the punk rock world.
Oh, wow.
So it's high energy.
Always pumped.
Always pumped.
Always pumped, yeah.
Even when it's sad, it's still pumped.
Yeah, true.
And it's kind of music that gets people jumping.
Yeah.
And gets them, gives them meaning in their lives.
Yeah. So, like, what got you into music, like, specifically, like, why did you choose this, like, why not, like, other, or even the sports or other stuff like that?
Well, I tried sports in the beginning, you saw that turned out, but I was told I'd never amount to anything and I should find something else.
Yeah.
And music just made sense
to me. Does it help you mentally, or, like, why did you, like...
Oh, yeah, I mean...
Why specifically this... particular
in the beginning, so actually in the beginning I was just really good at Guitar Hero.
Yeah.
And that was my thing. Then I was like, oh, I could try this in real life. And there was no real deeper meaning to it in the beginning. But then once I started writing songs and playing in concerts and really connecting with people, then it became like a therapy.
So like, is that like your getaway thing? Like when you like not feeling too good, you start singing or start playing instruments?
Through phases.
Yeah.
When I'm just starting the process of recording and playing, then it's the biggest getaway in my life.
Literally. It's all about that passion, you know? Like the good thing is finding passion. There's people out there that they're still watching Netflix, still watching video games, still playing video games.
There's a place for that too. I love video games.
Yeah,
so.
No, for sure. But like, some people spend so much time
on
not finding what their talent is, you know, their passion. And the good thing is that you found it so early. You're such a young guy too, but yeah, there's other people there, like, you know, always partying. Oh, it's not partying's not bad, but you know, every single day, every weekend. And it's crazy how, because especially at a young age, why not risk and try new things?
Yeah,
every day, you know,
we have the least amount to lose now.
Like, why not invest in yourself? Because honestly, at a young age, you can literally do anything wrong, do every fucked up every day, whatever, but in 10-5 years you'll be great, you know. It's all practical, you know.
It's all the time you put in and how much you care about it.
Yeah, for sure. So how long you been in the music? For how many years?
11 years. I'm 21 years old. When I was 10 years old, I first picked up a guitar and said, okay, I'm gonna write songs. I jumped right into songwriting even before I learned, you know, covers. I just experimented. And so there's a song on my first album called Hey Beautiful. I wrote that when I was 11. So it carried all the way over now, and we still play it every time we go out.
So like, why so you said it helps, like, you chose music because you love it, stuff like that. So who inspired you to do music?
Nobody in the beginning, but my parents became extremely supportive when they saw that I could do it.
Yeah.
But in the very beginning, it was Billy Joe Armstrong from Green Day.
Green Day. Never heard about that guy.
Boulevard of Broken Dreams.
Boulevard.
21 Guns. They're a big band.
he was
the guy that got me into music.
Oh, okay. So, right now, what's the favorite song that you wrote in the music?
Of the ones I've released?
Yeah, the one you released.
Would advise anyone listening to look up Wolfpack by The Dissidents.
I would agree with that.
Yeah? Wolfpack?
That's my favorite song.
Why?
It's,
is it the meaning, or like, why specifically that
so
song?
So lyrically, it came out of a very dark time in my life. So yeah. Every time I play it, I still remember where I was, yeah. And it helps me get over it every time. And it's about,
yeah.
Some people can read it as just like a love song, but it's more about finding your place in a world that doesn't believe in you, and when you don't believe in yourself.
Yeah, for sure.
And musically, it's one of the more experimental songs I did. It's got everything you would want in a song like this. Yeah. It's got acoustic guitar. It slows down. It speeds up. It gets really loud, really quiet.
Wow.
So it's all over the place.
Yeah. So you said you've been in music for 11 years, right? So what is one thing that you hate, and what is one thing that you love the most about music?
What I hate the most is that if you're looking to make a business out of it and yeah. a career, you are in for probably the toughest industry in the world. No one is going to care about your music. And I think the secret, which not a lot of people will say, is that the people who are going to care about your music the least are the people who are closest to you. Your best friends are going to be jealous. They're not going to go to your concerts.
Yeah, sure.
They're going to want you to give up because they don't want to see you succeed. Yeah.
And the lack of optimism, you know?
Yeah.
They don't have faith in you.
And part, it's not just in music, it's in everything.
Yeah.
You know, people.
I feel like it's important to, like, people that have to understand that if your best friend or even a friend in general, why not support them, you know? Maybe right now they're not doing the best.
But they're trying.
Yeah. And eventually it'll pay off. Mm. And if you miss the opportunity, if you're not supporting them, then you're like, shit, man. Like, mm-hmm. I should have done that, supported him, you know?
I fuck those people.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
Yeah, literally.
I think that, honestly, if the realization hits you that, oh, I actively chose to not support my friend who believed in himself, go fuck yourself. You deserve to not.
Yeah, for sure.
And
even though you can have, like, you don't have to be real, like mean about it, you know? Just, if they don't want it, it's okay, you know? Maybe you see them in 10 years, they get in 5 years, like, you know, look what I'm doing now, you know? It's all about, you know, having faith and bringing awareness to the people, and like happiness doesn't matter, you know. Even supporting other people is a good thing too, but like I said, you know, supporting your friends is the best thing you can do. Like even if you're starting really really low, why not just keep supporting
all the time? I mean, you see that. All you have to do is take one step into any local venue, and there's a lot of love there.
Yeah.
Whether it's real or not can be debated, but everyone's about support local musicians.
Yeah.
You know, if you don't listen to hip hop, still support your local rappers.
Yeah.
You know, go to the shows. If you're into hip hop music and you don't know anything about country music, support your local
support
country.
Them,
you know, it's all, no matter what makeup you're in, should always be about the love and the support of creators.
For sure, yeah, I agree. So like back to like love and hate. Love.
Right?
Yeah.
What do I love?
Like creating more music, more. Like,
so I'm more into making the music than playing the music out, but there's there's a certain joy in that too.
Yeah.
So when you're playing music out, the feeling of seeing people smile and seeing that they're lost in the moment with you, that's the number one thing.
Yeah.
But you know, I'm a sociable person, but I also prefer my privacy too.
For sure.
So I love being here
and
just, you know, turning everything up, seeing what comes out. I really enjoy producing music. That's something I adore.
So you like playing loud music during your like alone time, I guess?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I also like to just have local people, whether they be rappers or rock musicians, come in and just, you know, play whatever you want, and I'll record you, and I'm into like speakers and stuff.
So also
like
you're
that.
A producer as
yeah.
well. So have you produced any music from other people?
Yes,
any songs?
It hasn't released yet, but I just did a record for a pretty cool rapper named New Louie. He was at one point in the band with me too. It's more like a throwback style hip hop album. I did every instrument on there. In my next album, I'm doing every instrument and producing the whole thing.
Shit. So like, are you planning to produce more songs in the future?
Absolutely.
Specifically, what kind of genre?
Any genre you throw at me, I'll produce it for you. Hit me up.
<Yeah. laughs> So good, yeah. So you know, like, along, like, what's a good day for you? Like, for a good, like, what are some of the routines that you do to get you motivated into music? What do you specifically do? Like when you wake up, you tell yourself, all right, I'm going to do this, write new songs.
I have like a religious worship of the Notes app.
Notes app.
So for me, it's and I think Sean could back this up. Yeah. I wake up and I immediately open my Notes app and I write everything I need to do. So if I knew the night before, oh, today's recording day.
Yeah.
I cannot rest until it's done.
Oh, so you have to get it done.
It has to happen. Yeah. I'm very strict with myself on that. In terms of actually getting pumped up, I always think about what the end product looks like.
Yeah.
Right? It's like any entrepreneur or business person will tell you, like, oh, know why you do something. Yeah. Right? Have the vision.
No, I'm the same, but instead of, you know, waking up and writing it, before I go to sleep, I write down 5 things that I have to accomplish tomorrow.
The next day,
yeah. Because
I'm a little more spontaneous.
Yeah. But like the thing is, if I don't like do it, I feel like not like a failure, but I feel like I'm one step behind my goal. Like I have this goal 5-10 years and I need to work every single day to get what I want.
I definitely agree with you. Have to write down your short-term, mid-term, long-term goals. I just kind of have the long-term in mind and I create the short-term when I wake up, but I think it's equally fine.
Yeah, and it's all about the long-term, you know. People are so impatient, they want it right now. Like,
write the long-term.
Like, they don't realize that it takes a good 10 years to be successful, you know. Like, people gotta realize you gotta put in the work, and just keep, like, motivating yourself, you know, like, inspire people and having that positive vibes around you, you know, people that support you. And if you're always in a society that brings negative things on you, then it affects you, like, mentally. So you have to, like, stay away from those people, because if not, that, like, affects you to reach your goals and stuff like that. So I'm pretty sure you experience negativity and positive, like, stuff like that. Positive and negative.
It's almost all negative.
Yeah.
If you don't believe in yourself, don't do it. It's so much.
And also, if you don't have a passion, why not even start it?
And, you know, I think it's very interesting you touched on people want the long term immediately. Yeah. Like, people have no idea what a curse that is. No. So, like, I can say that I waited a decade for my big moment, and even when I got it, I was so fucking scared out of my mind that it made me back up.
Yeah.
So I last spring, for 3 weeks straight, every day I played sold out shows and arenas in Europe. It was either sold out clubs or sold out arenas. It's the dream come true for any musician. And I waited my whole life. I trained every day for those moments. And when I finally got it, I said, there's no way this is real.
Yeah.
And when I finished the shows, I was terrified.
Because I said, holy shit, oh my God, what happened?
And I thought, I'm not ready. I need to make better music. I need to play more shows. Yeah. I'm not, the crowds aren't quite there yet, right? Sure, so even.
It's a good risk, you know, like it's scary, but then like you're happy at the same time.
It has to be routine.
Yeah, it has to be. And like, so also, like you said, you wake up and you write things down. What other things do you do
to pump myself up?
Yeah.
I blast a lot of music. I don't like to be caught in my thoughts a lot. So whether it's, you know, in the shower, on the drive, on the walk, anywhere I go, there's something blasting. Yeah. I get influences from all over. I like to listen to very sad, emotional music.
Oh, really? Sad, emotional? Why is that? It
gives me meaning. Mm. It's understandable. For me, it's either really, really sad old music from like the 30s and 40s, or it's like the most unapologetically loud hip-hop music I can find. Oh, wow.
So like a whole different... That's crazy.
And then everything in between.
Wow. So, you know, like, how did you, like, have anyone, like, obviously people talk bad about you, you know, saying that this kid's not even, why is he even into music, you know, like, why is he even producing music?
Yeah, fat Kurt Cobain.
Like, so what did you, how did you take that?
For many years, I took it very, 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 very personally.
Yeah, for sure.
In my younger years, especially in my late teenage years, I thought I had that world's against me mentality. Yeah. Everyone
you
I saw...
You felt very alone, man. Yeah.
But after a while, I just figured that, you know, 9 times out of 10, the person you bump into on the street who might think that about you, they don't know. Like you said, they don't know what they're doing with their lives.
It's
a privilege to know what you want to do.
Yeah.
And, you know, I've been in moments where I've known what I want to do and moments where I'm completely lost. And I would always pick knowing what to do, even if it means getting insulted. You're always ahead.
Yeah. So do you always try to network with people, like connect with people in the music world? Or?
Yeah, I mean...
do you reach out to people?
Of course. There's plenty of musicians from all around that I talk to. Yeah. We're all, for the most part, we're all friends. There's some people who hate my guts, but honestly, maybe I deserve it, at least some of them. But that's the same in, again, in any industry, right?
Yeah. So, like, what was, like, the best moment that you had, like, the best memory, like, while you were doing this, you know, this journey? Like, what was the best moment you experienced?
Selling out the Barba Negra at Budapest to 10,000 plus people was a pretty incredible moment.
10,000 plus people. And what was that? Where was that located?
It was right in the middle of Budapest, Hungary.
Oh, Hungary? Mm-hmm. Oh, so you staying at another country?
Yeah, it was in Europe.
Shit. So how was that?
That's what I was saying. It was so amazing that it scared the shit out of me for 10, months.
10,000 plus people?
It was...
Shit.
I can show you video afterwards.
For sure,
That's one of them, but honestly, for me, there's...
So, like, when you got there, like, what were you... Like, you were like, holy shit, what did you...
It was like watching the credits roll to a movie about yourself. It was like, oh, yeah, I did it. Next, you know?
Oh, shit.
And that's why when you get that kind of success and you've been looking for it...
You gotta take advantage of the opportunity, you know?
And you gotta humble yourself.
Yeah.
And say, okay, back to the ground, you know? Yeah. That'd be my biggest advice to aspiring musicians. If you get off the ground, be ready to get back on the ground. And
I feel like you have to celebrate those little wins. Yeah. But the next day, you go back to work, you know?
And other than that, my other biggest memory is every time I made an album. Every single time. The first time, it was a dream come true. The second time, it was an even bigger dream come true. The third time, even if I'm doing it right here in my house, it's going to be a dream come true.
So how do you like get creative with the lyrics and stuff like that? How do you... what do you think of?
I think every musician does it differently, but what I do is... First, I come up with the concept. I think, what is the song supposed to be about?
Yeah.
Right? So I want to write a song about, someone I hate. Sure, right? Punk rock.
Yeah.
So I think, what would a song about someone I hate sound like?
Yeah.
And then you think, well, do I know the person? Do I not know the person? Let's say I do know the person.
Yeah.
Did I ever like this person? Did I ever not like this person?
So basically, like a
narrow it down.
Let's say like a heartbroken song. Would you specifically she did to you, or?
Yeah, let's use that, right? Yeah. I have a heartbroken song about what someone did to me that I once loved. Okay. Yeah. So then, what I know from that is it's probably gonna be loud. It's probably gonna be fast, but it's also gonna be very personal lyrics.
Yeah.
So I say, okay. So I'll put the lyrics to the side. What does it sound like? And I'll say, all right, well, a punk song sounds like this. This is what I like.
Yeah.
I put the music together, and then I listen to it over and over and over, and I write verse after verse after verse after verse after verse. The chorus is always the same, right?
Yeah,
so I write one chorus. If it's good, it stays. So if the song has four verses, I'll write, like, 12 to 16 verses, and then I'll chop it down.
Oh, you narrow it down to one?
Get every thought out and then condense.
And has that been with every song that you wrote in?
An overwhelming majority.
Wow.
Sometimes, so I just finished writing this album.
Yeah.
One song on the album, the last song I wrote, all I had was a title.
A title?
For months. Wow. And then I wrote a solo first. And then everything else came out.
And have you, like, featured with other artists before?
Only on a producing level.
Okay.
But I'm gonna change that with the next album. There's gonna be lots of features. Rappers, singer-songwriters, some female singers, rock people. It's gonna be all over the place.
So, for producing music or?
For my next record.
Oh, wow. So is that gonna be like a pop song or just what genre specifically?
So it's all over the place. There's orchestral influences. There's rock. There's pop. Yeah. There's hip hop. There's electronic. It's everything you can think of.
So is pop your favorite genre?
No, punk rock is my favorite genre.
Oh,
but I've made so much of it that I'm ready to do something else.
And you want more and more and more. You're hungry for more.
Yeah.
So what's like your second favorite genre then?
Classical music.
Classical music.
Then hip hop.
About.
Then classic rock, then oldies, then jazz. than new wave. Yes.
That's a good one. So right now in the music world, based on punk, what was it?
Punk rock.
Yeah. So what do you think? Like, has it been a revolution? Have it changed, or is it still the same?
Yeah, it all sucks.
It all sucks.
It all sucks. And I don't think I'm offending anybody by saying that. I think that in my opinion, punk rock musicians have embraced the idea of sounding shitty on purpose, and I just don't like that.
Yeah.
So I've moved away from it. I think that there's a reason that hip hop is king.
They're conquering music right now.
There's a reason for it. It's because it's good.
And the culture probably too. You know, people, everyone listening to it, and then
there's a degree of influencing in there, and you know, corporations and government that want to push certain things. But it's, you know, I think that if you didn't have the Jay-Z's and the Kanye West's innovate back then, you wouldn't have the modern trap scene or even that sound invading literally every other genre of music. Like, when's the last time you listened to like a country song? All you have to listen to is, but you know, Old Town Road conquered the world. It's a country song with a hip hop.
Even the little kids know it.
Of course. Yeah. You know, it's that sound is in every genre of music.
Yeah, literally they pick two different genres and just put it together. Now they hit millions of views and stuff like that. So it's
Lil Nas knew what he was doing, bro. That's all it is.
No, I think you have to basically attract the market, I guess, the people, and specifically do what's like have a good song for it, I guess lyrics. I don't know how music specifically works, or how do you like attract the people?
Well, it depends on if you want to attract the people.
Yeah.
I mean, I know plenty of people who don't want their lyrics to be understood. You know, they purposely write it vague so that, you know, the meaning isn't so out there. I think that it, so your question is, what do you do to make something more appealing to a mass market?
Is it the person that influences the people, or the thing that they say?
It's just the song structure. If it was only about influencing, then you wouldn't have people show up from out of nowhere, right?
Yeah.
And obviously you need to know somebody if you want to get to, you know,
be there.
If you want to be Taylor Swift, or if you want to be, you know, name it, that's obviously there. But I think it's more about song structure at the end of the day. There's certain things that the human ear likes, and there's certain things they don't like. And if your goal is only to get a mass following, then you have
zero potential.
No, I'm just saying on a technical level, you just repeat your hooks
over
and over and over, drive home the same hook, and make sure that your beat appeals to what people like. And then I don't think there's anything wrong with that if that's what you want to do.
And I feel like people try to switch it up too, right? The hooks.
Yeah, some more experimental.
Because I know, like, right now, many rappers or people in the country, they try to switch the hook, like you said. So, and so you're going in this journey, right? Like, So you just keep going forward when people talk bad about you? What do you personally do?
Well, I mean, what else can you do, right?
Yeah.
I mean, you either quit or you don't.
Yeah.
And I think that ultimately, if you're a person of integrity and you really believe in yourself, it's only going to be yourself that allows you to quit.
Yeah.
Right? No one else will have any influence on that.
Yeah. So what do you do? Like, you just tell yourself, you got this? Or, like, to people, like, let's say people want to be in the music, people want to be produce music, sing songs, create songs. What would you tell them, or what would you do?
If you want to make music, if you want to make movies, if you want to make fashion, if you want to make a business, if you want to make anything, there's a degree of arrogance you need to possess, but not so much arrogance that you destroy everything around you. You need to, if you truly believe that you're meant to make music, and you're meant to be understood as a person who makes music, you have to wake up every day saying, yeah, I don't know if I'm the best musician who's ever lived, but I'm going to act like it. And I'm going to work like it, even more than act like it. If you can wake up and say, I'm going to work like I'm the best musician who's ever lived, it'll happen. It will always happen.
So that what you kept telling yourself when you were in the... That's crazy, man. I mean, especially that you perform in front of 10,000 plus people.
And, you know, I was through that stage where I didn't believe it. Where, you know, I would say, oh, yeah, I'm the best, and I would work, and nothing would happen.
And low-key, you didn't...
And you know, low-key, I'm like, all right, what's happening? But yeah. Something always happens. Yeah. So it's not so much that, you know, poof, someone shows up at your door.
Yeah.
It's poof, you show up at someone's venue because you've booked every venue in the area, and you've went there enough times that people noticed you. Yeah.
So when you perform in front of that 10,000-plus people, like, did you, like, feel accomplished that you worked so hard?
Yeah, I could have died at that moment. It would have been enough. No, I'm serious. That's how it felt. It's like...
Why, did you, like, had, like, anxiety, or what happened? Or you...
No, the anxiety, believe it or not, like I said, came after the show.
Oh, after.
But show. Because I didn't know how to follow it up. But in the moment, during the concert, it's like my life could have ended right there, and it would have been a perfect, perfect thing.
Oh, you were just so happy there.
Yeah, that was the best happiness I ever felt.
And how many songs did you perform?
Maybe 13 songs. 13. Wow. We were opening for a band.
And so how did you attract people from Hungary? How did they know you?
We played, so exactly what I said about you show up at the right door. We showed up at a club in New York City called The Knitting Factory. It's a pretty popular rock club.
Mm-hmm.
And we wanted to play a show, and we got the show because we had already done one once before. And we happened to open up for a big Hungarian band who had come for the first time to America. And we connected. Hey, I'm a Hungarian person. That's my family's culture.
Yeah.
You know, and I speak the language. And they said, all right, let's see you play the songs. And we played it.
Yeah.
And we rocked. That was one of the best concerts we ever played. That was in October of 2017. And it was so good that they said, hey, you're coming overseas with us. Mm-hmm. And next thing we knew, we were touring. It always happens like that.
I guess, like, staying connected with people, like...
Yeah, always being in conversation with everyone you talk to.
Yeah.
And I'm guilty of this myself. Sometimes I disappear. I like to have my
own
private time. I like nobody knowing where I am for extended periods of time. But then I come back, and I'm like, hey, what's up?
What's up?
You know, I'm recharged. I'm ready.
Yeah.
As long as you don't disappear for, you know, 8 to 10 months.
No, that's a lot. Yeah,
then that something happened, but.
Nah, for sure, man. So, like you said, I feel like you need to know people in order. I guess it's kind of hard now to be.
You need to know people, but you will know people if you go out and play. It's not as. It's obviously, it sounds really, really difficult. You know, if you've never gone out and played a show, if you're still, you know, writing hooks in your basement, but just go out and play the first show, and someone will talk to you. Then play the second one, then play the third one. Eventually, you'll know everybody.
Wow. So did you sing in English in Hungary?
Yeah, I don't trust my Hungarian singing. And my songs are all written in English, so.
Yeah. So you said your parents were very supportive, right?
Yep.
So, at first, did they think you were crazy that you were into music, or you did
this
very
supportive? No, they saw the Guitar Hero. They're like, oh, he can do it.
You started with the Guitar Hero?
So I started on, believe it or not, at one point I was in the top 5% of the global leaderboards on Guitar Hero.
Oh, wow.
So it started off there. Yeah. My father just asked me, hey, do you think you could do this on a real guitar? And I said, I don't know, probably.
Yeah.
Me being a douchebag at 10
you
years old.
You were just a little kid, yeah.
Exactly. And he got me a guitar. Do you play guitar by any chance? But you don't.
I did when I was younger.
Well, yeah, probably when I was younger.
He's the best bass player I've ever met. So he bought me a guitar, and I started playing it, and I sucked. And he was like, oh, man, this is awful. What happened? And then I remember it was a party, and my father had friends over.
Yeah.
And a guy there was a musician, and he told his friend, you know, I don't know, he was so good at Guitar Hero, and he's just not doing it right here.
Yeah.
And then he said to him, well, you know, you bought your son a right-handed guitar, and he's left-handed. and he didn't know. And I didn't know either. And for the first...
Oh, so you had to, like...
It's all upside down. All the chords are inverted. It's much more difficult. It's the way Jimi Hendrix learned it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And for the first 2 years, he would not budge on a left-handed guitar. He said, oh, well, learn it that way, like Jimi Hendrix did.
Yeah.
And if you can do it, then I'll buy you one. And then he bought me one.
And how much are they? Pretty expensive, right?
Yeah, some of them are pretty expensive. I don't know if I should say how expensive they are. I spent a little more than I should. But
yeah.
Tour money.
So you started with the left one now, or how?
Yeah,
do you?
I left-handed.
So can you do right hand too? Or
yep.
No? Oh really?
Believe it or not, I took someone's guitar this morning. I was right-handed, and I just started for the fun of it playing it.
It's crazy, man. It's crazy. So, what do you see yourself in 10 years? Like with this music that you're doing, like, do you have any goals that you want to accomplish with this music world?
Top of the Billboard charts.
For real? I mean, that...
Everyone on Earth either knows me, loves me,
I guess,
or
you have to
me.
Think. You have to think very high of yourself.
I don't know.
Not put yourself in a box.
I do a lot of projects. So, you know, I run a business with Sean. Mm-hmm. I play music. I'm getting into screenwriting. I study law. I'm going to law school. Where do I see myself in 10 years? I see myself doing triple, quadruple the amount of success that my family did so I can make them proud.
Yeah.
And using whatever success I generate to help impact other people. Because you write the music. I write it for myself as therapy, but it's also to make other people feel something.
So are you trying to, like, help and influence people that are starting to, like, let's say you get older, right? Are you trying to help the kids?
Well,
specifically with the guitar or creating music or creating songs?
So, like, our company that we're building, it's 100% made by musicians for struggling artists. So, like, if I can do anything with this project that I'm doing with Sean, it's to make people who don't believe they can succeed to make something out of themselves. And then on a musical level, it's, you know, everyone's had it. You listen to a song and you feel alive. You feel like someone gets you, you know.
But I feel like before people become big, I feel like they write so many fucked up songs, so many bad songs, until you get into that one song that makes you go viral.
Well,
you know,
I think so. If I write, I'll throw you a number. If I write 30 songs in a month, maybe two of those songs
will be big.
Will not be big. Forget about big. Appear at all. So I'm very, very critical of myself. I'll write 30 songs and I'll say, this sucks, this sucks, this sucks, this sucks. These two are really good. And then those two that are really good get tested out live, and if they're bad there, then they get thrown out. So I'm really, it takes me a very long time.
You test a lot, and then what people like.
If it's received positively, then it's probably a good song.
So you guys are building a big project, right? So specifically, tell me what it is, or what are you guys trying to do to help other artists out there in the music world?
Yeah, so, I mean, in the grand scheme of things, it's a huge project that, you know, we see envision it like five years down the road, you know.
Yeah.
And at first, we want to be a music streaming platform and integrate social media with it. And so we want artists and creators to have more of a connection with fans that you don't see on other competitors, so as Spotify, Pandora, Apple Music, right? Most people just go to that. And they just click the music, and it's like, okay. And especially for these local artists, like, it's that we want to tap into at first.
Yeah. They need it the most.
They need it the most, and to have a connection with fans, that's how you get them to come back.
And build up an audience,
exactly. Yeah. And that's what we really want to do going forward. And eventually, obviously, we want to have these big-time artists. But can you imagine if we got someone like Kanye to interact with fans on our platform? I mean, obviously, it's a long-term goal.
But even on a FaceTime, we'll probably, like, shoot him a message. Hey, what do you think about this?
Exactly. Yeah. And,
you know, similar, like, 43, you know how they connect with the, with the soccer people,
that's,
and with the fans. I feel that's a good one.
Part of the thing we want to do is create this community atmosphere where, you know, it doesn't matter who you are, it doesn't matter who you interact with, it's just that we want people interacting, talking about music they like, you know. We want artists to give backstage content, because that's what music fans love nowadays. It's not just enough just to put a song out there now.
Yeah.
You need to show them something. You need to, you know, because all these artists are real people too. Clients too. They all have, you know, emotions and different type of hobbies, and people like to see that. You know what I mean? It's why all these big time artists have their own social media teams for themselves. And people
get,
love
like,
it.
And the thing is that people probably get like the artist. They probably get a lot of negative comments because they don't really know the artist. And I feel like it's important to, like, know the audience and connect with your fans and stuff like that. So are you trying to, like, make them be connected and more closer to each
other,
I guess.
Exactly. So, yeah. You know, one of the problems we've really seen in the music industry is the disconnect between fans and artists. Yeah. And one of the things, our app we want is Haven. That's what it's going to be called.
Yeah.
You know, what we want to do is we want to bridge that gap.
Yeah.
Between the artists and the fans, and give the, you know, we want them to be, you know, make a community.
Yeah.
And, you know, we just think Spotify and these other competitors haven't really done a great job.
I don't think anyone. I mean, probably they started, but I don't think, I feel like it's important to, like, even, like, as myself, if I really like that artist, I want to get to know them more, you know, probably shoot them a message, like, hey, what do you think about this, or something about them. They probably might respond back and stuff like that. Like, I feel like it's important to people to feel connected to the artist, you know. I feel like, as in long term, I feel like it's achievable, you know.
Yeah, and you know, as well as bridging the gap between fans and artists, the other thing is we want to do is, you know, Clarence is an artist and he struggled in the music industry because it's insanely hard to make it, and you know, the cards are kind of, or the chips are kind of stacked against him in a sense.
Yeah, sure.
And you know, we want to give artists tools to become successful if they're talented.
Yeah.
There's so many talented artists and especially local artists that don't even get the chance because, you know, they have to spend so much time marketing themselves instead of creating new music.
Yeah.
And you know, they put so much effort into marketing themselves and instead of going out and meeting new fans and things like that. And we really want to give, you know, make it easier for artists to have the tools to succeed. And in doing that, we also envision, you know, artists have to wait 6 to 12 months to, you know, get their royalty, get their paychecks when they go through music streamers. and you know, Clarence will tell you, you wait 6 to 12 months and sometimes more than 12 months. And, you know, the paycheck is $8. Was it $8?
I think it was $8 after months of playing, you know, night after night in big shows.
Shit.
And the thing is, that $8 is generous compared to other artists.
So I've been I know the statistic exists somewhere. I need to find it. But there's a statistic that goes, if you make over $1 a year, $1 in the music industry, you're in the top 1% of music earners.
Top 1%.
Because there's that many people releasing music every day across the world on, what is it? I think it's 216 major streaming platforms.
So are you guys trying to change that conflict?
Yes.
With the app?
So what we're trying to do is, so Sean already touched on the integration with social media. The main point. So,
and also, are you guys trying to interact or connect with other artists together?
Yeah, absolutely. So, we want a platform where indie musicians and major musicians alike can talk directly to each other and their fans about, hey, I'm making this thing. I'm happy you guys are. Yeah. I'm happy you guys are listening. I want to share this project.
Yeah.
What do you think about this project? Do you want to support the project? And then there's various ways they can do that. So, one example is we're putting, crowdfunding into it, right? So, you can make a post or, oh, this is what I think my T-shirts for the tour will look like.
Yeah.
Can you support it? Because I'm a broke musician, right?
Specifically, how are you guys going to connect the fans to the artists? What are you guys going to do in order to them to be connected with?
Yeah, so I mean, the biggest thing for us is the biggest difference maker, I would say.
Yeah.
Is definitely the ability to, you know, almost have this social, almost think of it as almost Instagram with a music streaming service together. So you can comment on posts and you can also direct message your favorite artist basically. And
make your content at the same time.
And exactly.
So what if the artist does not reach out back to you?
So obviously it all comes down to the artist's decision to get back. Like obviously, let's say I used Kanye before. If we have Kanye, you know, he could get, you know, thousands and thousands. We even talked about if we get artists of that stature, we only let 5 messages go through, and then it's his decision to respond. Yeah,
And then after he's done, he can get the next.
Refresh every day. That's because obviously Kanye is a little busy. But the other, but like these, the other ideas that we're going to do as well is he talked about crowdfunding, which is we're gonna call it backing, where fans can donate to their favorite artists. Be like, hey, I'm trying to, you know, let's. It's like. For anything, I'm trying to get this new guitar. I'm trying to travel to a new venue. Is there any way? Yeah, and like, and we, one of the things was, you know, artists can almost do this. It's like, hey, you know, you donated me $100. You can get my new music one day earlier than anybody else. And we thought of things like that nature. Exactly, something like that. It's like you donated me $300. Wow, thank you so much. Here's something for me. Yeah. And then also we want to have. Like e-commerce on our site where fans can buy merchandise directly from our site from that the artists have.
So just click on a link and then specific.
Basically, yeah.
One more thing to finish off. So
take this. You started.
sure so thing. Is there any message you want to give out there to other artists or people that are in the music right now that are struggling or probably don't have the support like you did or like... Like, what would you guide them to do?
I got you. Yeah. There is no easier time in human history to make music than right now. Yeah. If you've got a computer, you've got literally everything you need to make beats. Yeah. You've got to get a microphone. It's relatively inexpensive. But as a result of that, you've got a lot more competition than you've ever had before. So... Yeah. I know everybody says this no matter who you ask, but do not do it for money. Do not do it for fame. Do it because you love it and do it because it makes a difference in your life and other people's lives. And if you've got that in your heart, then your work ethic will pay off. You've got all the tools you need.
Well, crazy.
You love it.
Any message, any like you're into business, right?
Yeah,
for
anything
you want for the young people out there, people that are afraid to start this entrepreneur business stuff like that, or any message?
Yeah, I mean, I would mostly say that, you know, if you're an entrepreneur and you have a cool idea and you're young, especially like us, there's no reason why you shouldn't do it. It's not like you have a family and someone to worry about right now. You know, you know, it's the time to take risk.
Yeah.
And you know, if you really have an idea, and you know, don't just do something to do something. You know, when you know, I said this was almost 2 years ago when Clarence told me about the idea he had for this music streaming app that he wanted to make. I fell in love with it right away, and like his passion became my passion as well. Yeah. So. You know, if it's something you're truly passionate about, and even if there's people that, you know, don't believe in it, and, you know, even if it's some family members or close friends, which I've had in my life too, and, you know, think I shouldn't spend as much time in what I'm doing as I want, like, if you truly believe in it and if it makes you happy, then you need to do it for yourself. And, you know, with a lot of hard work and there's going to be obstacles in the way, which Clarence and I have seen, it's worth it, man. I mean, you know, there's no guarantee that me and Clarence succeed, but I can honestly say with the experiences we've had, I can't say I haven't learned more than the average 20-year-old kid.
I feel like right now we're working our ass off, and there's people out there that are doing the opposite, and right now, maybe in 10 years or 5 years, we're going to be different. We're going to be, I guess, like you said, it's not about the money, but doing something that we love. We took major, major risks, and I look at us, we're going to be more happy, but of course it's gonna be struggle. Mm-hmm. But that's just the good thing, that at such a young age we're actually doing something that we love, you know. So let's finish this off. I'm gonna ask you guys a few questions.
All right.
So would you guys fight a lion, or would you fight a kangaroo?
I mean, I'm probably dying in any situation. I mean, I would take the kangaroo because I know a lion's gonna rip me up, but I mean, a kangaroo could kick me out unconscious. What are you? I'll take the kangaroo, but I mean, I'm not gonna win. I don't think.
I'm on team kangaroo.
Yo, they can fight. Yo, they have fast wings.
The only way I'll beat any of them is with a rifle.
I mean, probably, yeah.
Like, at least I won't be as scared of the kangaroo.
Yeah. At least you man up for it, you know?
I'm not mad enough for the line.
I can take one punch.
And then what?
Then I'm out.
Waffles or pancakes?
Waffles.
No. Waffles?
Pancakes.
Pancakes? Right. Or French toast? Or French toast?
Oh, okay, wait.
No?
Waffles. All right,
French
cause
toast, waffles, or pancakes?
Okay, so here's my thing, right?
Yeah.
If it's chocolate chip pancakes, ooh, I'll go with the chocolate chip pancakes. But if it's plain pancakes, I'm going with French toast.
Oh, not even waffles?
No, not waffles.
You know,
waffles. I'm not like, I'll eat waffles. I won't ever eat them. But if there's French toast or pancakes, I'm picking one of those over waffles. Mm. I see your face right now. You're like disgusted.
She said no. Yeah, that's it, man. I mean, thank you guys. It's been a pleasure. I appreciate it, and I'm honored to interview you guys in my second episode of Calvation. And yeah, man, thank you guys.
Thank you for having us.
Seriously, man, this has been really fun.
And you can hang out with us while we record.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, we can do that. And yeah, guys, we'll be having more videos along the week. I have 3 or 4 more coming up, and I'm excited to share this podcast, this YouTube channel to you guys. And yeah.
All right, man. See you guys.